Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Fred, and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
By the way, we don't mention this enough. If you want to watch this show, you can go to YouTube or Facebook. Just type in Today's Issues. Is that right, Adam? I don't do it, so I don't know. Today's Issues, you can watch the show on
Facebook. We're having some issues with the cameras today.
Are we really?
Yeah.
Okay, see, I don't even know. Anyway, normally we live video stream the show, is what I'm saying. And the podcast is there as well. We put the podcast up not too long after we get through doing the live program. So Tim, Fred, and now Steve, and we were talking to Bruce and Sandy. Sandy Rios. And we were talking about the FBI and some other things. Kind of got interrupted by the break, and I wanted to bring Bruce and Sandy back on to finish this conversation. Hey, Bruce, you mentioned and Steve, I was informing on Steve on what we were discussing. You mentioned before the break that the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, needs to be cleaned up. That's common man's vernacular there. Needs to be cleaned up and reset and put back in order. And given its mission, get its mission back on focus in a lot of respects. And you're saying that you need somebody, that Trump needs somebody like he's appointed, Kash Patel, from the outside to come in and start doing that. But that'll take some time because you're saying Kash Patel, will have to hire his own people to be his lieutenants. And then they're going to have to go down and find out what do you call them, bad guys?
Deep state?
Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, I would classify them as both of those things.
Okay.
The big problem will be, who do you trust? Whose judgment do you rely on to decide who is who? Because as I said earlier, if you look at their performance appraisals, that is not going to give you any kind of information. Those are just inflated and pretty much worthless. It's going to take people that, it's kind of a paradox. They are familiar with the Department of Justice, but aren't attached to it. People like a Mike Howell over at Heritage. I wish they would tap some retired agents. I'm not auditioning for the job here, but I do wish they would tap some people who have left recently, who I would classify as of the old FBI. The old thinking, and go in and figure out who, take a look, not just a judgment, but take a look at these investigations, like the one where they went after Trump and his campaign, and see who was actually involved in that.
Okay.
See who okayed it. And, every office, there's 56 field offices. Everyone is headed by what we call a special agent in charge. And those people are each one personally appointed by the director. Now, I think a big way you could solve a lot of the problems that's going on across the country is you either demand the resignation of every one of those SACs and then hire them back selectively, or if you don't fire them all, bring each one in for an interview, Kash Patel and his lieutenants, and find out where they're at with things.
Okay.
You can also look at their social media. Even though they're in these positions, a lot of them have social media posts, and a lot of them are Trump bashers.
Really?
Can I jump in here?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, so with Kash, what he's talking about, there's like 7,000, I think, agents in that building, and he is toying with the idea of sending them back out into the country in other places and reducing just the force there in D.C., and Bruce would tell you, and he can tell you, that he feels like it's just padded. It's a way to get ahead in the Bureau, but it's not really effective. So Kash is talking about doing that, and I personally think, and also see if these, there's FBI agencies or what do we call, Bruce, I can't think of headquarters in every state, but there's also in Indian reservations and other places. There are places you could send people that wouldn't be pleasant. So there are a lot of ways to get rid of bad people than having to fire them. And I think they'll be exploring all of those ways. But I think they're very serious about this. And the second thing is they are changing the trajectory of the FBI. Bruce can address this. From terrorism and international to what they were tasked to do originally, which is fight crime. Bruce, why don't you say a bit about that? I think that's interesting.
Yes, I think after 9/11, the FBI really got off their mission. Because we were primarily, we used to rank our priorities as to what we investigated, and things like counterterrorism and that were low on the totem pole. It was bank robberies, kidnappings, extortions, things like that, real street crime. And after 9/11, here's what I've been told. After 9/11, President Bush, obviously very upset over how in the world did this attack occur and nobody knew it was coming. And he called the director of the CIA and he called Robert Mueller, who was the new director of the FBI, to his office in the White House and asked them that question. How did we miss this? Well, the director of the CIA had many answers and many reasons, and Robert Mueller basically had none. He did not know how this happened. And Robert Mueller, I can tell you, has a very big ego, and he has a lot of pride. And I think that on his part, there was an overreaction. And I'm not saying this is the only reason this happened, but I think it was a good catalyst to, you know what? We're going to change our culture. And the next time I get called in on one of these international terrorism things, I'm going to have the answers. And all of a sudden, we went from, you know, bank robberies and things to we're investigating international overseas terrorist groups. And that's okay. I mean, we need to be there, but that's not our primary focus.
Isn't that the CIA's job, though, Bruce?
Yeah, exactly. You have the CIA, you have the Department of Defense, you have the NSA, you have all these agencies that they are actually tasked with doing that thing. And we were sort of bootstrapping it in.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they weren't prosecuting crimes. They'd quit working on child pornography for the most part, and all the other crimes and things they investigate, like Venezuelan gangs, you know,
right.
Going into Colorado apartment buildings. That's the kind of thing the FBI has been dropping, and they've made, you know, Trump supporters the object of their wrath. We are, you know, domestic terrorists, and that's what they put all their energy into.
Well, that's going to stop now.
Yep. Yes, thank God.
Especially if Kash Patel is confirmed. Steve, you had a question?
Yeah, Sandy, I want to ask you about something. There's reports now that Joe Biden's advisors are trying to lobby him to issue preemptive pardons to some of his team, people that they describe as being on Trump's enemies list. And this would be, they're talking about people like Adam Schiff, like Liz Cheney, like Anthony Fauci, like Jeff Zients, the chief of staff, and those kind of stuff. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think that makes perfect sense, given the way they've been conducting themselves. They think of everything, so why wouldn't they think of this? I mean, I think he's actually probably going to pardon his family members. You know, they have been so corrupt, that family, in terms of the money they've taken from our enemies, you know, Ukraine and Russia and other countries, China. Millions of dollars to the family, and the family's been involved. The kids, his daughter, his brother, they're all getting checks. So I think he's going to pardon them too. So I just, Steve, it's just obvious this is a corrupt bunch of people who have a lot to hide.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised they're trying to get pardons.
I want to play this clip.
I told you Sandy wouldn't answer the question.
I know. I want to play this clip for you under the file of clips that do not age well. This was Joy Reid and Adam Schiff talking about preemptive pardons when Trump was president. Cut 11.
The presidential pardon was originally meant to grant the president the power to temper justice with mercy. It was not enshrined in our Constitution so that a dishonorable man could reward his criminal allies, friends, and family for their corrupt practices. Trump is considering preemptive pardons for his adult children. Late last night, we learned that Trump has discussed preemptive pardons for his three eldest progeny. The news was first reported by the New York Times. And joining me now is Congressman Adam Schiff of California, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. Have you ever heard of somebody getting a preemptive pardon who was innocent of all crime?
But no, it's the president's own family. It's people that have been covering up for the president in addition to his own family. And so there is a self-interest at play as well. It's been essentially a den of thieves environment. And so I think the president views this as his way of trying to protect those that have protected him.
The internet is forever.
I know.
Yeah, really.
But he never did that, did he?
No.
Tim, I'm sure it was in an article somewhere. Yeah, I'm sure that Vox reported that, I'm sure. Or Joy Reid, perhaps. I don't know. No, of course he didn't do it.
Right, and he didn't do it. President Trump did not do it at the but what they're talking about is precisely what people are suggesting Biden might do.
Well, it may explain why Adam Schiff has already come out, because his name is being mentioned for a preemptive pardon.
Right. I always get amused when I hear when somebody talk about the House Intelligence Committee. I'm sorry.
You know, also the ignorance of Joy Reid, because there's been some terrible pardons in the past. I think of Bill Clinton pardoning the FALN, Puerto Rican terrorists who killed people. They were completely pardoned by Bill Clinton for no reason. There was no reason. I don't know. It was, I guess, a payoff to somebody. And that's just one. There's probably a whole list of them.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be. I remember how Lincoln used his pardon. He pardoned people that came to plead with him, family members,
right,
and he'd have mercy on different people for good reasons, true mercy, not paybacks, or making sure that criminals go free or criminal family members. Bruce has something on this.
Well, I think what's ironic is that the Democrats are complaining about President Trump when, if you go back to President Obama, he issued 1,900-plus clemencies and pardons for people. Think of that.
Who did?
President Obama. Okay. 1,200 clemencies and over 700 pardons.
Wow.
And most of them were done on the way out the door. And I think you better watch for that with Biden. You know, basically, their family in politics, I mean, they never die from politics, but they're really going to have a hard time now.
Yeah.
And so don't think he's not going to pardon everybody that he can.
Let me ask you this one other question, Bruce, then we'll let y'all go. The with respect to this killing in New York City of this CEO of United Healthcare. Okay, that's big news now. We're all, and you're seeing photographs now from the alleged killer visiting a Starbucks with his face being shown. I mean, so everybody's going to know who knows him, who he is. But let me, just as a question I was asking, we were talking about this. When you have something like this happen, is this an investigation only of the New York City Police Department because it happened in New York? When is the FBI called in? Does New York City Police call the FBI and say, can we have your assistance? I mean, how does that work exactly?
Well, we have task forces now in most of these major cities, which involve all the local police, FBI, and other federal agencies. And usually when you have something like this, which is so high profile,
right,
and which we want to get it solved quickly, because the victim is from Minnesota, there's automatically maybe a potential interstate aspect to this. So the FBI is probably right there with the NYPD working on this.
Okay, so the legal protocol is if it involves interstate.
Right.
A crime involving interstate, right? Yeah.
And usually what we do is even if it hasn't been established yet, if we can presume it.
Yes.
Because of the way this went off. Now, later when it's sorted out, if they arrest this person and we find out, no, he never left New York City before he did this, it'll be prosecuted.
How long do you think it's going to take him? What's your guess on how long it's going to take them to find this guy, assuming the guy's still in the country or still alive?
I am guessing today or tomorrow.
Okay, that's what I – 48 hours, I said max.
Yep.
Because this is what the FBI and, of course, is working in conjunction with the state and city.
The facial recognition software is amazing these days. It's kind of scary, really, when it's used improperly. But if it's used for this purpose – it will probably give us at least a name right away.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Sandy, how can folks listen? What do you got coming up in your next podcast?
I'm going to talk to Megan Basham. She's the one who just wrote this book called Shepherds for Sale.
Yes.
It's about how the church has been bought by like people like Soros. And yes. I mean the church. Certain people have been planted and bought by George Soros and others, like the Rockefeller Foundation, to pull the church to the left and Christian organizations. There's proof of it. She names names.
Right.
Russell Moore is one of those names. So I'm just telling you, it's a fascinating conversation. So
okay.
That's what's next.
Okay, so go, if you want to download Sandy's podcast, just go to afr.net, click on podcast, and then you'll see the banner for Sandy Rios 24/7, and Sandy releases 3 podcasts a week. And so you can get them there at afr.net, click on the podcast. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Bruce.
You're welcome,
Thank
Tim.
You.
Merry
what
Christmas
a pleasure
if
to
we
be
don't.
On with
yes. Merry Christmas. Now go have lunch.
Finally.
Yeah,
okay,
all right.
Okay, we will. Okay,
thank you.
Okay,
that's
all right.
Got our Comrex fixed there. We didn't have to do an interview via cell phone. That was nice. That was a blessing.
Yes.
Comrex, for those who don't know, is our radio equipment we use to. So when we interview people, when Alex is on with us or Frank Turek, it sounds like they're in studio with us. That's the beauty of the technology we call Comrex. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve, go ahead.
Donald Trump has done more, accomplished more in 1 month as the president-elect than Joe Biden has done in 4 years in office. Example number one, and we could do several. Mexican authorities have announced that they have done the largest fentanyl bust in the country's history. Over a ton of fentanyl was captured in this raid, which just happened to come days after President-elect Trump promised massive hikes in tariffs on goods from Mexico if they didn't solve the fentanyl problem. Hmm. Oh, look what we found.
Are you saying this is the Mexican government has announced this?
Yes.
Okay, so wow. You know, the problem they have in Mexico, and talking to people even from Mexico, I was talking to somebody yesterday who's a American citizen, but they're from Mexico, and we were talking about the drug cartels in Mexico, the problem that Mexicans have, and they said to me that they're everywhere, talking about the drug cartels. So it's going to be a challenge for the legitimate Mexican government and their police to go after the drug cartels, who are also responsible for a lot of the human trafficking and so forth and so on, because they're so powerful and so numerous.
Yeah.
And Fred, you know,
the other part of this story is Donald Trump has said these tariffs that he's talking about, they're bargaining chips.
Yeah.
He may not apply them, but he's threatening to do that unless you, Mexico, do something about the fentanyl problem. He said to Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, you have got to do something about all the illegals entering our country from the northern border.
Right.
And right away.
Trump can play hardball.
Well,
and it's good. I'm commending him for it.
Right. And that's why these tariffs are so important.
Yeah.
Has a bargaining chip.
So you're saying that Trump would, for example, now he's not even president yet, but he's already meeting with these foreign leaders because they know it's just a month or so before he goes into office.
And they also know when he makes a threat, he will follow up on it.
Yeah. That's what's also switching continents and issues. You know, President Trump said out loud, yesterday or the day before, Steve? He said the hostages in Israel that are being held by Hamas better be let go by the time I get to office, or there's going to be, quote, hell to pay.
Yep. Yes.
Isn't that what he said?
That's
exactly
what he said.
That's his quote.
Yep. That reminds me of Reagan. You remember when the Iranian Ayatollah Khomeini took the hostages, American hostages, under Jimmy Carter, and then Reagan got elected, and they let the hostages go day one of Reagan's presidency because they knew that Reagan was going to hit them some way militarily, probably, that was going to be severe if they didn't let the hostages go. And I think anyway, that's what Trump has already announced, that they better let the hostages go, they being Hamas, before he's in office.
Yep.
Go ahead, Steve.
All right, I wanted to pay off on this. Is it? Can we talk college football for a second?
Yeah, whatever you want to talk about, man.
I like to
go for it.
The playoff brackets came out. I know, Fred, you're going to want to weigh in on this.
I'll listen to the conversation.
Anyway, we've got the teams that have made the playoffs. Arizona State, Penn State. Well, the four byes, the four top seeds, Boise State, Oregon State, or Oregon, SMU, and Texas, because they won conference championships. And
No, Steve, excuse me for interrupting you. Don't mean to correct you in front of the whole world here.
Correct me in front of the whole world.
Yeah, but, okay, though there are some conference championship games that have to be played this weekend, which will determine whether those teams you mentioned actually make it into the playoffs or not.
This is a temporary, the first take.
But I will say this. Those teams you just mentioned should be in the playoffs because the committee who decides these has said we're not going to punish teams for losing their – conference championship game. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, in addition to those four, Arizona State, Penn State, yeah. Tennessee, Ohio State, Alabama, Notre yeah. Dame, Indiana, and Georgia are yeah. in. Who's out? Ole Miss.
Yeah.
First one out. And Lane Kiffin is not pleased.
Okay.
He's being, he's saying.
He's the Ole Miss coach.
He's the Ole Miss coach, and he is saying that the SEC should be held to a higher standard and therefore a bigger reward. Because the SEC is a whole different league than everybody else in college football. He says you have the NFL up here, and then a little lower than that is the SEC, and then a little lower than that are some Big Ten teams that are pretty good, and then there's everybody else.
Yeah, he doesn't endear himself to the other college football fans who are not part of the SEC because it sounds arrogant to say that. But a lot of truth to it, quite frankly, if you look at the league, the SEC in football. I will say this, though. The playoff, this is the first year for the college football playoffs that has expanded to 12 teams. We've had four now for, what, 10 years? Longer than yet? We've had four teams that make yeah. it. And those were selected basically by a committee, and now you have 12 teams. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes and whether it helps or hurts college football or not. But it's a it's turning into a long, long season, right? Like the NFL.
It is. There is a
these are student athletes, though.
Well, they're getting paid a lot these days.
Yeah, they're student athletes, businessmen.
There are rules that they have to how a team makes it. It's not like the remember when
yes,
they used
do.
To
yeah.
name the championship. The guys, the writers, and yeah. the coaches got together and said, "We think this is," and everybody disagreed. Well. The rankings are still 1 through 25 are still
yeah, AP
determined
rankings,
like that,
yeah.
AP or coaches.
Yeah.
But once they get those rankings, then there's a rubric and rules of who makes the playoffs. It's not
right.
arbitrary like it used to be.
No, so, that's right. There's a process.
Who are you picking?
To win, to the, win whole the whole thing? Thing?
Yeah.
Well, you man, you're putting me on the spot here. I didn't even have a chance.
Well, you corrected me in front of the whole country, so I had
to. okay, if I had to pick today, and I know this pick's going to be crazy because they didn't win last week, I would pick Ohio State. But Ohio State's not even going to be in the Big Ten championship. But yeah. I just think Ohio State has the best players. That's my opinion. But not by much. Oregon beat Ohio State earlier in the season. They're ranked number one undefeated. Yeah. Georgia's back again. Texas is there. I mean, it's a lot of great teams this year. But if you just put me on the spot, I'd just pick Ohio State.
That's good enough for me.
Yeah. But which just gave them the kiss of death. when I pick a team, then they usually lose. All right, so there you go. Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
By the way, Steve is wearing the Paisley shirt today.
Yes, I am.
Yes, he's back.
Keep up with his reputation. My thanks to Steve, Sandy, Bruce, Chris Woodward, our Adam Suddeth, our producer. Thank you for listening, everybody. See you with Trivia Friday tomorrow.